Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A string of daring art heists in recent years has rocked museums across Europe. The target, Chinese art plundered by Western colonial powers. This has become a matter of national pride for China's government and its newly rich. So is Beijing behind one of the boldest waves of art crime in history? That's the question posed by an article in the August issue of GQ magazine written by Alex W. Palmer, who joins us now from Milwaukee. Alex, hi, how are you?
Doing great, thank you.
When I was reading about these break-ins, the first thing I thought was, like, this sounds like a Hollywood movie. Could you go over some of the hijinks that these thieves were using to get at this art?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, the methods they seem to have worked out. There's definitely a very clear methodology between all of these heists, which occurred in Europe starting around 2010 and up to the present day. So you see often that they're lighting cars on fire to distract the police, you know, sort of taking their attention away from the crime scene, and then smashing into these high-profile museums. They're coming in, rappelling down glass ceilings. They're smashing in through side doors. They're anything they can do to get to the art, they're figuring it out.
In France, you write that they used fire extinguishers to cover their tracks, and the heist in Norway took like 6 minutes, so they knew exactly what they needed and how much time they would need to get out. And you also say the thieves appear to be working from some sort of a shopping list, that, you know, there may be some really valuable piece of art right next to the thing that they took. What were they going after?
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting parts of this, is there's security camera footage from at least one of these thefts. And you can see that when they break in, they know exactly what they're going for. And that's how they can get in and out in, you know, 2 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. They're passing up much more valuable art in favor of pieces that have some connection to Chinese history, and especially this history of defeat or humiliation that the Chinese feel between the century of 1840 and 1949, what they call the century of humiliation, when China was invaded and carved up by foreign armies. During that period, a lot of art was taken by Western powers, you know, to be displayed in these resplendent museums back in the West. And it seems like whoever's breaking into these museums now, they want to make sure they take those pieces back, and they're willing to leave much more valuable pieces that don't have that provenance.
Huh. And what's the art look like?
So it's a great variety. Some of these are imperial seals. There are, you know, dragon carvings. There are Buddha statues. This stuff really runs the gamut. And if you believe some of the numbers the Chinese put out, there have been perhaps millions of objects taken from China since 1840. So anything you can picture, big, small, you know, paintings, tapestries, statues, it's in some Western museum.
So the big question that you pose is, who's behind this? Are they free agents who just are nationalistic, patriotic? They feel like they want to get this art back for their country? Or is it driven by the Chinese government?
Yeah, and the line here between commerce and crime is a really thin and really blurry one. So you see that for many years, the Chinese had been talking about their desire to reclaim this art, and they had sort of, you know, pulled out bulletins to Western museums saying, hey, you should return this stuff. But it really got serious in about 2009 when the government started sending out what it called the treasure hunting teams to museums across the West, like the Metropolitan in New York, and then to some of these European museums that ended up getting burgled. And these were researchers, members of the Communist Party, who were looking for items with some connection to Chinese history or that had been looted from China. And the next year, in 2010, you see the thefts start to occur across Europe. Now, of course, this is also because, like you said, there could be free agents, or this is also as China is getting much, much richer. Now it has more billionaires than the U.S., so you certainly have people who have money to spend and have an interest in these antiquities. But where exactly that line is between patriotism and crime and capitalism, it's a blurry one, and that's what makes it so interesting.
What's Beijing saying about it?
Beijing alternately says that they want these pieces back, that the methodology of their return does not matter, and then they're very mum about these specific thefts. You'll see them saying that they don't like thefts because it only encourages more stealing, and they're worried, essentially, that items will get broken when thieves are trying to steal them or transport them. But they also don't have too much sympathy, as you can imagine, for these burgled Western museums. One of the comparisons I heard a lot during this reporting was, you know, there's no compunction now about returning items that were taken by Axis powers during World War II. You know, that's seen as proper restitution. Why is it not the same case that China was stolen from in the 19th century? Why is it okay just because it happened a century earlier? Why do we allow it? And that's something that Western museums and now perhaps these thieves are questioning themselves.
But why did it take so long for people in China to start caring about this? I mean, you even said it only really got going as a topic that people were talking about there in 2009. For much of the 20th century, it doesn't seem like they were paying much attention to this.
Exactly. And that's one of the arguments that Western museums made for a long time was, especially when China was more in the midst and throes of revolution, when there were purges and people were being sent to the countryside for decades and decades under Mao, Western museums were basically saying, look, China's not a safe place for this heritage right now. They can't protect their antiquities. And in fact, there were programs to destroy what Mao called the four olds, one of which was old culture. So people were smashing museums. They were smashing these valuable vases and, you know, priceless works of art. So Western museums were saying, no, we can take care of it. We're sharing it with the world. This is a good thing. But now as China has gotten bolder in recent years, gotten more powerful, and certainly gotten richer and much less communist, much less fervent about destroying the old, they have a much clearer interest in this stuff. And especially for the Chinese Communist Party, which has really latched its legitimacy onto the idea that it can bring China back from what had been a century of humiliation. These items are very visible proof that they're restoring the country. They're bringing it back to its old prestige.
Okay, so some national pride going on there. But here's what's making me scratch my head. China, because of its economic ascendancy, is full of elite rich people now. There are more billionaires in China than there are in the United States. Why don't people go about this a different way and just buy the art back?
In a lot of cases, they do. And you'll see some incredible auction buys in recent years, just millions and millions of dollars ahead of what people had valued an object at because it has some Chinese provenance. And all of a sudden, you have buyers from mainland China swooping in and spending, you know, $30 million, $60 billion on it. But that's not always possible. In a lot of cases, the most valuable and the rarest works of art are never going to go up for auction. So they're either held at Western museums or they're held in private collections. And especially these items that China feels the most strongly about that were taken from the old Summer Palace when it was looted by the British and the French, those items really ended up in royal collections. They ended up, you know, in palaces in France, in Britain. They were given to kings and queens, and those are never going to go up for auction. So if you want them, there's only one way to get them, and that's not legally.
Okay, so there's this crime spree going on at museums around Europe, which has got to make museums nervous about protecting their art. Are they putting in new security? Are they saying anything about this, or would they rather try not to make a big deal out of it?
There have been a few different reactions. So you'll see a place, one of the places I visited, the Kodak Museum in Bergen, Norway, has the especially auspicious distinction of having been robbed twice.
Wow.
Its China collection was looted in 2010, and then a few years later, when by thieves looking for specifically these types of items with a connection to China. So they hired a security director after the second theft.
Yeah, you need a new plan at that point.
Yes, that was what they finally realized. And so he came in and did, you know, ground-to-ceiling reform of the institution, and they actually are still under construction putting in new security measures. So the China exhibit is still closed. But then you also have others that are quietly sending back items that they think might be attracting the attention of these thieves or of the Chinese government, maybe things that they always felt a little bit ethically queasy about, and now they have sort of a good excuse to send them back. And partly that seems to be for some collectors and for some museums a way to get in the good graces of the Chinese government. So you see, like from the estate of Saint Laurent a couple of years ago, they sent back two of these famed zodiac heads from the old Summer Palace. And that was a way to sort of ease Chinese concerns about putting those items up for auction, which Chinese buyers had threatened to scuttle. So museums and collectors, they're still trying to figure out exactly what's happening and how to navigate this new situation.
Alex W. Palmer is the GQ contributor. His story, The Great Chinese Art Heist, appears in the August issue of GQ magazine. We're going to link you to it at hereandnow.org. Alex, very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. My pleasure.